Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Rice Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you're at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are on iTunes, where you entered Warman Kickfighting Show, and the podcast pops right up. Sorry, I've been super busy. I do my own fight promotion here in Fort Worth, Texas, and I just hadn't gotten around to watching all the fights and giving a really good breakdown. So I spent the last few days getting caught up, and I know it's been a while, but I'll try to be consistent throughout the rest of the summer. Got a big time show for you today. I'll go ahead and break down Glory, talk about K1, and just catch you up on some of the news and notes that I have missed throughout the last few weeks. So first and foremost, we go to Paris, France, where Cedric Doumbé is still your Glory welterweight champion. Alim Nabiyev definitely had his moments in the fight, and there was definitely some good back and forth, but Cedric Doumbé was just a sniper. Like, I swear, so many of his shots landed. And again, Nabiyev is much taller and longer than Cedric Doumbé is, but again, it's just when you are elite and you're in your prime and you are putting together the resume to make yourselves one of the greats, sometimes you see something that is beyond normal. And the way that his jab was scoring and in flurries, like, he just, it's like he couldn't miss. Like, he knew exactly where Alim Nabiyev was going to be. There was a moment in the fight where Alim Nabiyev kind of did like a showboating thing with head movement, which I've seen him do a million times. After he did the showboating, he did the head movement, and every place he moved, Cedric Doumbé hit him. And I remember that happened to me when I was younger. The first time I went against a guy who was a boxer, I was trying to do head movement and move like how I saw on TV. And I went against a guy who was really, really good. And he hit me no matter where I moved. So when I watched Cedric Doumbé do this and I watched Alim Nabiyev do that head movement and watched Doumbé score every single time, my first thought was, dude, this guy is another level. You know, he is as legit as it comes. So really, really cool stuff. That he, you know, again, everybody's different, but really, really cool to see Doumbé perform in that way and get that kind of stoppage. You know, the stoppage kind of came about where the knee kind of came for, or Alim Nabiyev was still scoring here and there, even though he was losing, he was still scoring. And he had a moment where he had scored a knee earlier and he went back to the well on it. And when he went back to the well, Doumbé, you know, absorbed, kind of blocked it. And then because both hands were extended, he was able to score over the top of the big shot. That had Nabiyev in trouble. Nabiyev got up. You know, a lot of questions, controversy. A lot of people felt like the ref should not have let Nabiyev go on after that. He wasn't in the best, and he was like, put his gloves up, and he's kind of walking away from the ref. When he restarted the fight. So the barrage that came afterwards has scored the huge knockout, and he was out, you know, sleep, as they say. So definitely you want to look out for the fighters. And again, it's different when it's live, you know, and again, it's the title. And I think that maybe the mentality changes when there's elite guys. I've heard people say it before that they want it to just be called the same. Every fight should be called the same, no matter whether it's a championship or not. But I do think that whenever you're going with elite people, elite things happen. So they like to let things go a little bit longer in those situations. I've got no problem if that's your mentality. But I got to have consistency. You know, you can't be that way one day and then different the next. So I thought that Nabiyev has still got a lot of skill. He still has the ability to work his way back to the title. It's just that Cedric Doumbé is putting together the right kind of resume. Now, what I mean by that is I am not one of the people that are quick to say someone's an all-time great. But I will say if they're putting themselves, giving themselves the resume to put themselves in that situation, Cedric Doumbé is putting himself in that situation. He is not just beating guys, but he's stopping guys. And that's what I value the most when I look at someone who's an all-time great. Now, again, I've got no problem if you win by decision a lot. You know, Georgia Petrosian won by decision a lot. But in probably the greatest one-year performance of any kind of kickboxer, Andy Risty had a lot of stoppages in that year, and he stopped, Petrosian and Van Roosmalen in the same night. Like, that sort of thing makes something an all-time great kind of year, an all-time great kind of resume. Cedric Doumbé, we're halfway through the year, and he's already put up, you know, arguably in two fights, you can make the argument that this is the guy to be the fighter of the year with half the year left to go. He could still compete two more times to build on that. So, and new prospects coming up all the time. He could lose when he, you know, does those two fights. So, shout out to Cedric Dombey, doing good things. Good win. I love the crowd's reaction. I love that they, you know, put the camera on his family afterwards. And I think Nabiyev is still an elite talent that we will hear from, and he's got a lot of big-time wins. He's got a win over Dumbe, you know, and this was it probably helped Dumbe that he fought him and he found the range on him before. But Nabiyev has still got the skill to beat anybody in the world, but he ran into Cedric Dumbe, who was just on form, just sometimes it all clicks, and that night, Dumbe was just perfect. Next, we have Anissa Mexen against Sofia Lofsen. I really like the strategy from Mexen. She was definitely, because they're conscious that Sofia wants to walk you down, Anissa definitely, you know, took the, you know, a more of an aggressive, you know, approach. Was definitely moving forward, finding her offense consistently, and a switch kick comes up, scores. Sofia, you know, was able to get through that barrage, but the cut was bad. They then stopped it, so Anissa Mexen goes out there and gets a victory and gets a stoppage victory, and she's putting things together nicely herself. You know, she already has the greatest resume in the history of women's kickboxing, so, you know, it's just going to be curious who you know, emerges through the glory ranks and gets that opportunity against Mexen down the road, but she's on fire, she's beating everyone, and she's a talent for sure. Next, we move to Mohamed Mazari. It's been, you know, Amitya, we've been calling him more by his nickname, but if you watch some of his earlier fights, Mohamed Mazari is the name. But Amitya, for the sake of the broadcast, rose against Adam Hadfield. Hadfield's coming off the win over in his debut. He had a win, what was that? I can't think of the month, but it was over Richard Abraham. Anyways, he comes out there. Mazari just aggressive, you know, lands in flurries. Hadfield never really got going. Big time body kick scores after some body work earlier. Hadfield goes down. He gets up and tries to continue. And Hamicha does one of the wildest swinging body shots that you're ever going to see. It was like, you know, it looks like when you're joking in class. It was that kind of a wild kind of shot. But he just threw it so much power. And Hadfield took it and went down. And that was it. Hamicha, two fights, two stoppages. You can't make yourself a more likable or interesting, you know, prospect than by going out there and winning in style. You know, not just getting decision victories. You go out there and stop some guys, you're going to have some people behind you. So right now, Amitya is just, all eyes are on him. You know, the level of competition, of course, is going to move up as he moves on. But, man, two fights, two awesome knockouts. I'm all about Amitya, the more the better. Felipe Micheletti gets a victory over Luis Tavares in a split decision. This could very well decide the fight of who's going to go on and fight for the light heavyweight championship next. Close fight, good back and forth. Tavares, more of a point scorer. You know, a lot of people kind of have this image of him as, you know, he was in the organization, got stopped, went out there on the lower, you know, found some out of glory kickboxing for like 3 years. I think he maybe lost one fight in like 3 years. And he had a great run, and all of a sudden he was your infusion champion and at two-weight classes, at heavyweight as well. Put together a good resume. When that contract was up, he gets another opportunity at glory. He wins a very, very close fight with Gorlov, and he comes into this one, and he shows some of the skill that you know he's got. Good combinations, good flow, good speed. Micheletti was just, you know, is a big, strong guy, muscular guy. He really puts on a great performance. He does really good things, but the consistent work from this round, from both athletes, came at such, you know, at different times throughout, and I could see how it was a difficult decision to make. I was even confident in some of the scores. I'll bring that up with another fight. I was even confident in some of the rounds and who went which way. But when the judge said it, I was like, I got no problem with it. It was just that kind of a fight. You know, that kind of a fight, that kind of a battle. Micheletti gets the decision, the split decision. And Luis Tavares, again, still a talent. He has yet to show the skill that he put in that last 3 years. So he's still putting it together as he goes against glory opposition. So we'll see what comes from him next. But Micheletti, I gotta imagine he's going to, you know, be right up there in the title picture, you know, after this fight, like, you know, a name to you know, to think about as the next foe at light heavyweight now that he's got those two big-time victories. Artem Vakhadov gets a victory over Denegi Abena. Split decision. These scorecards were all over the place. Vakhadov, I actually thought, did decent work in round number one, and I could see it going his way. Abena did good work in round number one, too, but I really, really thought there was a really good chance that the work that came from Vakhadov would win him, you know, or would win him the first round. They go to the scorecards, and Denegi Abena had won three of the five. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe I saw it wrong. Then in round four, a very, very competitive, you know, fight, good rounds, you know, very, very good back and forth. I thought that the early portion of it was going towards Vakhadov. Then a head kick comes up and scores, and it didn't really hurt Vakhadov, but it knocked him off balance, and Abena came in and threw some aggression afterwards. And then after that, Vakhadov went back to work. Single kicks, spinning kicks to the body, boxing straight left hand. It looked like his right hand was injured again. He barely used it. The commentary brought that up, you know, good and early when they saw it. So they go to the scorecard after a round where you can make the argument that, you know, Abena almost scored a knockdown. And then that had four of the five judges went for Vakhadov. So it was one of those rounds where I was like, man, it's just going to be tough. It's just going to be, the whole fight's going to be tough. I would say the change of pace in the fight, as far as what the scorecards reflected in the action, would be in the third round, where Vakhadov started to play off the bounce. He's an elite guy, so he switched up tactics. In the beginning, he just focused on combination flow, and he had a heavy low kick. The problem with that was, even though he was scoring, you know, Abena would just kind of power up and throw a combo flurry back at him. So he wanted to be able to score and get out of there so that, you know, Abena couldn't come back and erase his work. You know, he didn't want to go 2 for 2. You know, he wanted to make sure that he stayed up. So switched up tactics, started playing on the bounce, something that you've seen, you know, Anissa Mexa do. Played on the bounce, single kicks, movement, single straight lance to the body, single high kick. Like, just kept playing it. Sometimes he'd double up. Sometimes he'd have a quick combo with power, you know, power straight left and then a low kick behind it. He kept mixing it up. Abena was, you know, competitive throughout. Good combination of low kick flow, good heavy hands when he had his moments. But when Vakhadov switched up styles, I almost felt like the judges started to watch him more. And when they started to watch him more, they're like, you know, he switched it up. He's not getting hit as much. The comparison round thing. You're supposed to score each round by itself. But sometimes refs, you know, human nature, they score each round compared to the last round that they had. So when I look at this fight, I think that there's a chance that that happened in a few rounds. But in the end, and still, Vakhadov is your champion. He moves forward. He's got a couple options. As I mentioned, Felipe Micheletti is another option. It's just a good card, good fight, good action throughout. I really, really enjoyed the fight, and I move further down the card. Artur Gerloff gets a victory over Yagis Yagayan, 30-27 and a couple, 29-28 and the others. Took center early, scored in flurries. Gerloff, you know, is just about putting some more of these together. You know, he is a talented guy, and you can make the argument that he beat Tavares. And then he, you know, the Hammer Lane situation, he was doing good in the round before the, you know, he pushed him on the, you know, by his face when he's on the ropes. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you take that away, you could be an even a bigger role. So it happens, and it was a decision made, but he was able to come back, put it all together, and get a victory here. And Artur Gerloff moves forward. Stoyan Kovalensky gets a TKO cut decision over Muhammad Duraev. Here's my thing with this fight. First, I feel like people saw Duraev for the very first time. Even though he had a win in his first fight, this guy, this is probably the version of him that you will more likely see at a high level. He's good. He can kickbox. And his combo to low kick game was smooth. His counter kick game was smooth. Stoyan Kovalensky was right there with his combo flow, his step knees. He really did a great job. I was really, really impressed throughout the whole fight of what kind of effort he put forward and kind of offense that he put together. I thought that it was really good by Jiraiya, and I thought that was really good by Kovalensky. After two rounds, there was one apiece in terms of the not necessarily the whole scorecard in terms of some people had a couple for the other. I think there was one judge that had it for Stoyan no matter what. And then the other four had it even. So it came down to that last round. Jiraiya started to figure it out last round. I think he had the low kick hurt, and he started to really play with, you know, the combos to low kick flow, because Kovalensky, who was still throwing and still scoring, just slowed from the low kick. He ate so many of them. I don't think he got a check up one time. And he started to take over. Stoyan then times this perfect knee, comes straight up. After it scores, Jiraiya just keeps going back to work. He felt him. He kept going back to work. You look at the face, and when they had like an interaction and they're striking and they get held up, the ref calls for a break, calls the doctor in. The doctor looks at it, doesn't take much, looks over and says, that's the end of the fight. With 45 seconds. All right, so if you're the other corner at that time, you just got to be yelling. And again, the language barrier comes into play. You just got to say over and over and over, it's 45 seconds. Say it to the ref, say it to somebody else. It's 45 seconds. He had a really, really good last round, and he was on his way to winning the round despite the cut. So with 45 seconds, can he make it? The doctor that you get, again, you just do the best that you can, but ideally you want to pick someone that's a fight doctor, you know? You want to pick someone that they are used to dealing with fighters. There's a guy in our area, you know, in Fort Worth. His name is Felipe Garcia, and he does a lot of the physicals for a lot of the fighters. The reason why I like him so much is very simple. He chooses to break you down and look at your skill set as if you are a fighter and not just a regular human being. Clearly, a regular human being can't go 45 seconds with that cut. But a fighter, a person who has made the decision that they're going to go into this line of, you know, of competing, you got to let them go. And I thought that this was a situation where I would have preferred they let him have the 45 seconds. It was a bad cut. I'm not going to say it's not a bad cut, but time and space matters in fighting. And if you're 45 seconds away from the decision, let it go. If in the corner, or if they say it's a draw, you got to go to an extra one, then you could stop it. But 45 seconds, go ahead and give the athlete the opportunity to get out of the round. So Jiraiya was definitely disappointed. You know, he felt like he was winning at that time, and I thought that at least he had an edge in the last round. As for Stoyan, he still looked great, scored great. You know, first round particular combo to low kick flow was good. The return kicking in this fight was amazing. High-level action, I really, really liked it. Antonio Plazabat goes against gets a victory over Nordin Mehedin. And let me tell you something. This fight is a reflection on why heavyweight kickboxing is different nowadays than it was back when it started. This is just an awesome flow of combos to kicks. Like from both guys, Mehedin would just throw in these awesome 7-8 punch flurries just to really let his hands go and put a low kick in there every once in a while. But mostly he played with really strong boxing combos and single kicks. Antonio Plazabat, if you've ever seen him before, he does his thing, combinations and low kicks. He may as well be Robin Van Roosmalen, just bigger. And he just stayed on it. And the first round, I think if I remember correctly, everything went to Mehedin. And then Antonio just, you know, turned it up. And rounds 2 and 3, clearly scoring the better combination of low kick flow. You could see some fatigue from Mehedin, who had mentioned in the pre-show that he doesn't get tired. But you go against an elite guy, you start finding out that you didn't have the gas tank that you thought once you were in front of a guy who's that deal. So I thought that Plazabat did a really good job in this fight. He's a steady kickboxer who will be around for a long time. I do like him at heavyweight, you know, because he's still very quick, got good combo flow. He's the style of guy that we need for Rico. So, very, very entertaining fight. Good stuff. Alexei Oleinov gets a victory over Masaya Kubo. Oleinov he's feeling it right now. Came out 0-2, I want to say, in the start. Had the weird TKO. No contest thing with Bailey Sugden. And just really put on performances that were forgettable. And then all of a sudden, he finds his groove, gets a victory over Glunder, gets this victory here. It was a battle of high kicks, his right leg versus Kubo's left leg. And he just kept playing counter kicking, and he kept getting he would beat Kubo to the shot every once in a while with the high kick. Boxing here and there, but mostly it was the kicks and the movement. And then in the third, a weird shot landed at a strange angle, and Kubo went down. Probably wasn't hurt at all, but the angle of it and where the ref was, they called it a knockdown. So 30-26 on all your cards. Ulyanov moves forward to be a contender in division. Another close fight as Michael Palandre gets the victory over Vlad Tuanov. Tuanov, of course, you've heard me talk about him on this podcast before. Very, very good prospect. Palandre showed really good skill early. I thought round one couldn't have gone any better for Vlad Tuanov, who fought way different than what I'm used to him fighting. You know, he was aggressive. He kept loading up on power shots. I think he was determined to win by KO in this one. Still had some good combo to low kick flow, but most of it was him timing counters and big time shots off of leaping opportunities or off of a feint to get you still opportunities. So I thought that he did a really good job. Like, just me personally, I thought he did a great job. Everybody has their opinion, because the fight didn't go to, you know, wasn't a stoppage, and there was a French, you know, crowd there behind Palandre. It's just, if I remember correctly, Palandre could be the one I'm thinking of, but the crowd just stayed with it. They stayed with the action, and Tuanov, power shots versus Palandre and the body kicks. He really hurt Tuanov a couple times with them body kicks, and they go to the scorecards, and Palandre gets the victory. Matej Panez gets a victory over Mathieu Ksiva. Sometimes, I've talked about it before in fights, sometimes the worst shot you took is the first shot. And that affects the rest of everything that you're trying to accomplish. And you never get going after that first one scores. That is the situation here. I think that, you know, Seva is probably emotional because he didn't get to put on the fight that he wanted to put on. And if he loses, you know, losing by decision at least proves that you got to show your skill. Or if you got one round, you got to show your skill. But I've seen it happen before as a coach and just as an observer. That first person that throws a strike, that first individual that throws a strike, if it's a shot that you're used to taking, you'll be fine. But sometimes if that first shot is the worst shot, it keeps you from ever getting into your game. And that's what I think happened here. Panez was able to land the best shot first, and Seva was in trouble. So he gets the victory and moves forward. Garrick Belay did an awesome, awesome performance with combinations of low kicks and pressure as he gets a victory over William Goldie Galloway. Here's my favorite thing about this fight. And, you know, Belay did some awesome stuff in the fight, including a spinning back kick that scored in the liver of William Goldie Galloway, and he went down. My favorite thing about this fight is when Galloway went up, Belay tried to throw to the body right away, then he realized it wasn't going to be there, so then he just started throwing heat. You know, he was determined. Something here is going to score. He just started throwing heat. And when he threw heat, to try to get the stoppage, there was a moment where Galloway backed away, nodded his head, shook and smiled, and then he just unloaded. My favorite thing about this fight, as I was going to say at the top of it, is that William Goldie Galloway knew that he was down and fought in a way to get it back. Like, that's very, very important to me. Like, I need guys who want to battle like crazy when they're down. Something in you should be like, man, I gave up a knockdown, I'm going to lose. That should not be something that you accept. You know, you should, you know, life or death, be battling to throw heat to try to get a victory in the round. That should be your mentality. If you are of the, you know, the opinion that it's just, you know, just get, I couldn't get it done, and just get to the scorecards and that kind of stuff, whatever, and you just, all of a sudden it becomes okay to take the loss, then this is going to be a difficult game for you to ever achieve great success in. Something in you has got to be like, I got to take this guy out. He's got a, you know, a point, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Or he just scored a knockdown. Something in there has got to make this happen for you. So it's just interesting, and we'll see what happens. But Goldie Galloway, both in the end of the, right after the knockdown and the second, and then the third option was, so after the knockdown, second, and then right towards the end of the third round, he threw heat, not even necessarily aiming, just throwing heat because something out there is going to die if I get to it. So that's kind of what my thoughts are. First fight on the card, Sierra Mazzaduck gets a victory over Aurora Dos Santos. Fun fight. a battle of two different styles. Sarah's game face at the beginning of a fight is as vicious as it gets. She looks like she's going to kill somebody. And she goes out there, and I'm telling you, she puts on a great performance. Her switch kick is so, so fast and so quick to the head. And, you know, strong with her boxing. Dos Santos did a good job of finding right hand looping over the top because Sarah's not difficult to hit. And then she walked her into some step knees. And I thought that Dos Santos did some good stuff, and you could make an argument for her winning round number one. Round number two, the energy started to go, and Mosaddegh did not lose any energy. She just kept going, kept throwing in flurries, ends up outscoring and clearly winning over Dos Santos at the end of it. But, man, she's got a good look. She's got good speed. She's 19 years old. Like, she's got all the talent in the world. She just has to keep getting fights to build her, to put her in a position to fight an innocent Mexican one day. But it just starts with how they build you, so... Definitely, definitely excited to see what happens, and I want to know more about this, more about fight cards in general that have her on it, because she's a talent. So we're going to go ahead and move on to what could only be called a tournament of destruction for Takai, who just murdered all of his guys by knockout and just... It was a star-making performance. So I'll go ahead and go into it. I'm not going to break down the full card, but I want you to have the narrative. So we go into the tournament. Masashi Kimura gets a victory over Patpentang. TKO, first round, stoppage there. Samvel Babayan gets a victory over Koki by majority decision. Yusuke Takai gets his first victim, Alex Rivas, knocks him out 246 in the first round. Just again, the aggression, move forward. I mean, he got KOs in every possible way you can think of. Kato Ozawa then gets a victory over Takahiro. Fumuya Ozawa gets a victory over Yuzuki Satomi. Pettis Leona gets back. He's definitely good wins coming from Pettis. Gets a victory over Kosuke Kiyomayam by TKO. And then you have Tetsuya Aoba getting a victory over Rasuyi Azasawa. Who, if I remember correctly, retired after that, if I'm thinking of the right person. But we go back to the tournament where Masashi Kimura gets a victory over Samvel Babayan. 30-26, there was a knockdown scored in that. And then back to the killer, Yusuke Takai. He stops Shuhei Kimura, knocked him out in the first round. So this guy ain't even fought two rounds yet. You know, he just goes out there and executes people good and early. And then Hiruma Seika gets a victory over Jorge Varela by knockout. They've been using Varela a lot, but Seiko stops him in this one, and we'll see if he gets another opportunity after that. But shout out to Varela. Deizo Sasaki defeats Fukushi by TKO, and then Minoru Kimura continues his streak of, you know, wins and KOs, and he's just been doing great, keeping himself active between, you know, Crush and K1, and he gets a stoppage victory over Cruz Briggs, and good stuff for him. Yuna Murakoshi gets a victory over Sholong Hoi, and then the finals, two fights. One, I mean, you can call it an upset, but he is a talent. Rikuya Anpo gets the victory over Kao Resurrex. Kao is very, very talented, once champion for K1 a couple of years ago. But lately, in the last few years, he's been upset and beat by, you know, Sakinori and some of the other guys in the division. Still talent, just, you know, losing to some of the better guys. And some people call it an upset. I think Anpo was good enough to get the victory. The extra round, there was 10-8, knocked down, scored. It's just, it's a big-time win for a guy who they're trying to build into a star. So shout-out to Anpo. For the guy who is a star, Yusuke Takai, he stops in the second round. He stops Masashi Kimura in one of the most violent knockouts you're ever going to see. Kimura's throwing like a spinning back fist kind of thing, and he gets hung up, and Anpo then throws a hook that kind of lands behind the back of the head but on the side of the neckish area, and then as it looks like he's going down like on a slip, in midair, a high kick is already on its way, and Takai scores a high kick as Kimura's going down. This knockout was the knockout. He went down and stayed down. Violent stuff, but awesome. And it was very, very entertaining. There's clips now going around Twitter of all three victories in one night, and it was just awesome stuff to see. So the question is, what does it mean for Takai long term now that he is your, you know, your super bantamweight champion? The number one thing it means is you can put Takai up there with Takuro, and you can put him up there with Tenshin Nasukawa. He is in that category now. He is up there. He is an elite. He is a talent that you've got to be careful of, that you got to be conscious of, and that you can build on. He should be a star. He's got that kind of a talent. I just want to see more from this guy moving on. Just, you know, special stuff, special talent. Very, very entertaining fighter. Very, very good. And now that you've got a third person to add, you know, I saw someone use the term Trinity, you know, and it's funny because it's three fights. You ended up saying, like, it's three fighters with super huge resumes who are as talented as it gets. They are going to carry the banner for kickboxing in Japan for a long time. Young guys, and I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see the fights that they can make. And with those three. So good stuff, and we move forward. I guess I was thinking about if I wanted to do it or not, but I can go ahead and take us to the Risen card. Let's do one. We'll do one championship first. Don't have a lot to do from one, but I definitely want to talk about Stamp Fairtex, who is already a very elite fighter, already very, very talented. But she's starting to build enough of a resume and fight consistent enough for the title that she's making a name for herself. And Alma Janiku from Australia is a tough, talented girl. But she went out there and Stamp Fairtex proved who the stronger is, winning majority of the rounds. Definitely some close and some competitive moments for Alma, but it's just Stamp Fairtex. And, you know, she's got some good young people in the division that are gunning for her. And she put on a great performance, and we got to build it. That's the thing. The house has got to be built by kickboxing and kickboxing fans. So you got to get behind this athlete, and you've got to push for them to be the best that they can be. And Stamp is there. So you got to watch her compete, and watch the next up-and-comers go after her. So good stuff there. Kickboxing, we had Xianglong Zhang get the victory over Tyler Hardcastle by knockout in the first round. Also with Muay Thai, we had Hanzi Hao get the victory over Andrew Miller by knockout. In the second round, Andrew Miller's gone out to China a couple times, stopped both times if I remember correctly. So just got some tough draws, but good stuff for him. And then also kickboxing on the card was Tariq Kababez against beats Anderson Silva. I believe that's Anderson Broderick Silva. So look out for another heavyweight on the horizon. I've seen Tariq fight a couple times. Silva is his biggest win to the best of my memory, but really, really good stuff there. Rodlick P. Sanchai GM gets a victory over Liam Harrison. Awesome fight. Harrison brings the war. There was a knockdown scored, I want to say, in the third or fourth. I can't remember. But the biggest thing is, if you get Liam Harrison, you're going to get the war. And he stayed right in front of him, and they exchanged big shots, and they scored clean offense. And he got his low kick game going in some of the boxing. It's just Rodlick was able to score consistently with power throughout all five rounds, more than Harrison. But still, great fight, great show, and definitely going to want to see more of Harrison. Andy Housen just signed at 40 years old. He just finally won. So they're going to have some fun fights for him. He's under 130 pounds, so I'm excited to see what happens with, you know, the Bad Company team moving forward. And definitely good stuff in a loss by Liam Harrison, and good stuff by Rodlick in victory. So the rest of that card was MMA, but I really wanted to focus on those kickboxing bouts because, you know, that's just, that's us. That's the future of this game, is to keep having elite kickboxers do their thing. So, really, really good stuff. And I think I am going to take you guys to, I was definitely torn, I was thinking about it, but I'll go ahead and go to that Risen card. Not a lot to talk about for the card as a whole because they didn't have a lot of kickboxing on it. But anytime, you know, tension fights, You got to bring it up. There's no way I can not bring it up. So let's go ahead and do the kickboxing on the card. Had a healthy amount of kickboxing. Yuya Shibata gets a stoppage victory over Yuke Tanaka. Sekai Aoyama gets a victory over Kengo by TKO. Stoppage in the first. Kan Nakamura gets a victory over Ito Nakatake. KO. Again, great way to start your fight. Stoppage, stoppage, stoppage. It's a great way to start your fight card. Then MMA fight came in. I'd go back to kickboxing. Kyoji Shiratori gets a victory over Hiroto Yamaguchi for a decision. And then back to the stoppages is Urson Yamamoto gets a victory over Tim Estruth. And then we had Ryuji Horio gets a victory over Kunitaka Fujiwara. And that was a unanimous decision. And then the rest is all MMA until we get to the top where Tenshin Nasukawa beats Martin Blanco by knockout, knee to the body in the second round for the ISK featherweight title. First of all, how hilarious is it that the ISK title is still floating around out there? Every once in a while, I'll watch an event, and it'll be like K1, or if I'll watch whatever, and someone will mention the ISK, you know, title. And it just makes me laugh, because I'm like, where is this title at? I've got no clue. You know, I don't know the resume of them, and I follow the sport all the time. So when that belt emerged, my first thought was, hey, man, now that we've got it back, let's publicize when you're going to defend it. But, of course, it's going to be different if Glory is, you know, not Glory, but it's going to be different if, I guess it's just different for each athlete, you know. So I won't go into that full, but definitely get myself back on track. Tenshin Nasukawa, I want to know what's coming from him in the future. Got a couple of big super fights that are developing in the other organization. He just got to stay healthy. He's just got to keep battling, and we will see where he goes from there. So that is most of the card. I also want to go ahead and give some news and notes here. Ilias Belaid fought the other day, and in very, very awesome fashion, he wins by body shot in the second round. I got to have more of that, man. I got to have more of that. I love me some Ilias Belaid. I like him in kickboxing. I was heartbroken when I found out that he would be moving to Bellator, because I know I thought that was an exclusive contract. And then right after I thought what was exclusive was set in stone, then I find out that he's not. You know, that there are other things that he can do. He's not locked into just that one contract with Bellator. They will allow him to kickbox. So he goes to China, eats somebody's body up, and all is happy in the world. So good stuff by some of the better talent on the planet around 143, all throughout the world on these cards. So definitely shout out to them. And, you know, hopefully we get some, you know, high-level matchups moving forward. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up with just a short breakdown of the Glory card coming up. I'll just do the Glory fight series. Paul Panasiak's going to get the newcomer Taylor Crawl. Should be fun. Taylor Crawl also has international experience. A tough guy, good for the weight class. Paul Panasiak, similar, you know, very, very professional. Like, he fought at 87 in his Glory debut. And then after some losses, he was let go. He then goes to Thailand. He runs, like, five fights. I think he wins five of six fights, stopping all five of the other guys. And before he contacted us about coming back, and he, in our opinion, earned his way back in terms of if you get caught and it doesn't go your way, all you want to do is just take fights local or whatever, work your butt off, and try to get yourself back in there. It's all up to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, something in you's got to be like, no, I'm not stopping. I want to go after this full. I think that that's what everybody needs, you know? And I think that the athletes that have success and Glory are people who are more of the mentality that, okay, whatever it takes, I've got to be my best in fight night. Whatever's going on in the world, I got to be my best in fight night. So it's important that if you don't do that, if you come up short in a loss and some close losses, like in the situation with him, don't let that be the end of your dream. Go out there, fight, find the resume it takes to get yourself back. Because that's what Paul Panasiak did. He went out there, he got some fights, and he got some wins, and it's almost like he earned his way back. But really, he just decided that there's only one way this is going to happen. I got to go back, and he did. So good, good stuff, and I'm happy for him that opened up an opportunity for him back in Glory after, you know, being let go by the organization and then being able to come back. So I'm excited for Paul Panasiak. just in terms of his ability to compete. I'm excited for Taylor Crawl because I've been told about Taylor for about 3 years. Fights MMA as well, and that's a really good matchup. Next super fight, we've got Kenan Diop against John Morehouse. Kenan had a really, really entertaining first fight. He just lost to, you know, Peter Stanek, who's also on this card. Peter had just a little bit more offense than him, so good stuff there. John Morehouse, tough guy, always going to move forward, picks it up, usually scores better in the later rounds, so that should be fun. Ross Levine, karate's own, goes against Thomas Diagne. Diagne is a talented guy, came out, lost his debut against Sean Choice. It just didn't come together clean. You know, he's talented, but the fight didn't come together as clean as we probably would have liked. So, good stuff, though, overall, that he was able to, that fight, you know, able to come together. And, sorry, I got distracted by something. Sorry, folks, I'm going to get back into the action. Just something was going on, and I kind of drifted on it. But let me return to what's going on. Ross Levine is a karate-style guy who is a very, very talented fighter. And he's 2-0. He's got a huge, huge background in terms of, you know, his style and his movement. And if it comes together for him, he could be something. Because, you know, it came together for Daniels. But Daniels had a really, really good run. So I look at where Ross is and coming in and his skill set. And this is also ISKA Championship Week for karate. So there's a good chance that he's going to have a pretty good crowd who wants to see his karate style work at the highest level. But Thomas Diagne, who's a powerful guy who can sit on shots heavy, who also has kicks and good kickboxing and good Muay Thai, he has to figure out the game plan as far as running down a guy like Levine. So overall, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think that's a good matchup. Peter Stanek draws Vince McGinnis. Vince has fought tough and gone for decision and two glory outings. It's just not the result he was looking for. I know he wanted the win. Stanek made his debut back in Houston. Awesome, but a very close fight with Diop. So hopefully we get a good fight between these two and I'm ready to move forward. Taylor Starling is a newcomer to glory. She draws Rebecca Irwin. Irwin trying to keep the ball rolling. Promotion behind her. She's in the posters. She's a good fighter, you know. And Taylor, who, you know, boxed and fought MMA, got some kickboxing. She's done a little bit of everything in mixed martial arts. So I'm excited to see what happens. Excuse me, a little bit of everything as a martial artist. And I'm excited to see what her career is going to be and what things will bring. Because she's, you know, so skilled, but I haven't seen her tested. Becca, of course, tested on the international scene thanks to her amateur run. Should be fun to see how this fight goes, and I'm looking forward to the finale. So here, Adam Chuck draws Kevin Vanoustrand. Of course, you know Kevin. Kevin is once the interim champion, has title shot opportunity, lost to Robin Van Roosmal, and then Sergey Adamchuk, very, very talented. As skilled as a guy as you can be, great on the counter. Just sometimes he, you know, his patient style keeps him from being a little bit more aggressive. So, shout out to him. Should be a fun fight between those two. Abraham Vidalis draws Trevor Rajan. Good style matchup. Trevor moving down from a bigger weight class. Of course, he's, you know, kind of a muscular guy. So, he's moving down to 143. Not the tallest guy, so it's a good decision for him. Abraham Vidalis is trying to build on two stoppage victories early in his career. He's a very, very talented guy. Young man. Got a good look about him. Hopefully, he can keep winning and keep pushing things. Then we move to Elvis Gashi as he makes his return after a while to glory to fight Justin Houghton. Justin Houghton finally himself putting together a couple of wins and having some confidence and talented guy. And then you look at, you know, the situation with, Gashi. Gashi is talented, undefeated, got some good wins. It's just the big year gap off, you know, negotiating and so on means that he probably lost a little bit of the buzz that he had before, but he's still a super talented guy, and if you watch this fight, I think you'll be entertained by it. Far Wilderness draws and D'Angelo Marshall. Wilderness, of course, is a workman guy who doesn't throw the hardest punches, but if you let him keep going, and you let him keep kicking, he'll find you. And he's a very, very talented guy. He is going to, you know, draw a guy who, you know, literally D'Angelo Marshall, he's got the look, he's got almost every tool. He just doesn't have, I guess, the the consistency needed for us to consider him to be elite. Because he will lose to a guy, and we're like, man, how did you lose to that guy of all guys? And it just didn't work out. So hopefully as we move forward, we will get more entertainment from him and pushing, and we'll see the best version of him in Orlando. Ace of Tin Powell, the local, draws Hassam Al-Kassari. Al-Kassari's got some, you know, spectacular knockouts in his first two starts, some good movement, and then he had the loss to Vidalis. Ace is still undefeated in glory. He's the man. I expect more from him. He's so, so talented. So, plus he'll probably be the biggest draw out there. So that should be a fun matchup. And then finally, Petch Pomerom goes against Anvar Benoizarov. It's just about Anvar's ability to be super aggressive and keep Petch from winning with body kicks and movement. It's going to come down to that. So, all in all, should be a fun card. There are some other news and notes that I missed, but I wanted to go down just the stuff that I had most recent. And, you know, there were some cards that I wanted to talk about. You guys can send them to me and say, hey, Steven, you forgot this. My apologies. As I said before, I was doing my fight show, and it literally sucks my life away to do that. So, thank you so much for your time. God bless everybody, and I will try to be consistent. Hold me to it. People sent me stuff on Twitter when they saw that I didn't post the podcast. So hold me to it, and I'll be on it. So God bless everyone, and I will try to be more consistent throughout the summer. Peace.